the rest of the story. Alden Partridge may have been the worst school superintendent in the history of education. To begin with, he saw himself as sort of a one-man faculty. He was forever intruding on the regular instructor's classes. With little or no warning, he would barge in to lecture on some subject which he was utterly unqualified to teach. And maybe if it happened to be a sunny day, he'd spontaneously usher the students out of the classrooms for some form of physical education, which he also frequently sought to instruct. Amazed observers described Superintendent Partridge as twitchy, a compulsive type who seemed on the verge of running off in all directions. He always had to be doing something, but usually wound up accomplishing nothing, for despite his intentions to make an impact, his hopeless disorganization prevented him from doing so. And what you've heard were his strong points, for at least one associate called him a bundle of deceit and hypocrisy, revengeful, malevolent. Others called him worse things than that. And regardless of everything you've just heard, almost all of the students who attended his school were utterly devoted to him. What they liked was his absence of anything even vaguely resembling a course of study. They were amused by the egocentric whims and eccentricities. They appreciated the almost total lack of discipline, and especially their superintendent's tendency to pass and to praise and to graduate the academically unworthy based purely on favoritism. Well, eventually, predictably, the instructors got fed up with trying to teach in an atmosphere of total chaos, and the protests accomplished their purpose. Alden Partridge was fired. A new superintendent was put in charge. But this is the rest of the story. This new superintendent, his name was Sylvanus Thayer, was horrified when he discovered the extent of the disarray he had inherited, also that his predecessor, seeking retribution against the professors who had complained, had actually sworn out his own complaints and had five of those professors thrown in jail. Now the worst is yet to come. No sooner had the new superintendent begun to clear the debris than Alan Partridge came back. He returned. He just appeared in the doorway of his old office one day and informed the new administrator that he was to resign his position immediately, that Alan Partridge was back to reclaim his office, his title, and his school. And with no authority to do so, he did so. He ousted Superintendent Thayer. Within the hour, had called a meeting of the student body to announce his own reinstatement, and the students gave an overwhelming cheer. As I say, they always liked Mr. Partridge. Naturally, when it was learned that Partridge had forcibly resumed control of the school, he was placed under arrest. Even that took days. Historians now say that the law arrived just in time to rescue the school from oblivion. That is how much damage Alden Partridge had inflicted during his 2 years in charge. And yet it's curious now for you and me to imagine that almost 180 years ago, the institution we now associate with airtight discipline and immaculate order was in shambles and on the very verge of collapse. A helter-skelter school under reckless administration, a chaotic academy called West Point. And now you know the rest of the story.